All right, Frank, I'm just going to tell you again how to make money with your app and how to do this correct. Are you ready?
So far, you haven't steered me in the wrong direction. James, I'm here. I am your disciple. Let me hear it.
God, I hate, you know, we started talking on the podcast 5 seconds ago, and we started talking about your app that you're going to release, and you're like, I don't know how to make money with it. What do I do? Paid, freemium, this, that. I put on my PM hat. I went over here and just put this little monkey on my head if you're watching on YouTube. And I turned into marketing, sales, PM, James. It happened quick.
Yeah. But I asked you the question because I know that's the monkey on your head. I think that it's supposed to be monkey on your
head. It's on my shoulder.
Shoulder. Yeah.
The monkeys are everywhere. Last time a monkey, we were in before we got engaged, we were in Bali, right? And mm-hmm. we were in one of the monkey temples, yeah. And a monkey went and sat on Heather's shoulder, and it almost ripped her earring out of her ear.
I was going to say, like, yeah. Monkeys are up to no good. Curious George, no good.
Curious for a reason. Curious for a recruit. Curious about something. It didn't rip her earring out of her ear. These monkeys were pretty good, but we helped shoot it away. It was luckily one that has the loop hook, so she was able. It was ooh, just slid right out. I do believe the monkey took said
oh, sure.
earring. Yeah, it's yeah. gone.
You could trade up for it. You know.
Probably. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, there's probably a monkey black market.
Absolutely. I mean the amount of trading, because we were in Uluwatu after that. Now those monkeys are real aggressive. The ones that we were at, they're not super aggressive. It was like pretty chill. But the Uluwatu ones, it's a lot of tourists, and like they're pretty aggressive, and they're like, hey, these monkeys are aggressive because and not aggressive towards people, but aggressive as like they will take stuff out of your hands because there's a bunch of tourists that like are doing that. And I literally saw this monkey like take an iPhone out of this lady's hand, was like, deuces, I'm gone. And she was like, whoa. And I was like, yeah, they told you don't try to take. She was taking a the photo like this close. This monkey's like, oh, thank you, deuces, bye.
My
anyways, Frank is releasing an app, and it comes down to me once again, Frank, for you to make all the money. Okay, so here is the dilemma.
Set the stage, yeah.
Should I ask
the question I was going to ask you? Okay.
Well, hi. People know about this app, but you could set the stage.
I don't know. Yeah, I do mysterious tweets sometimes. So if you follow me on Twitter, I might have posted a screenshot here or there because when I get something working, I'm usually overly excited that I got it working. Anyway, new Vision Pro app. I know for all 10 of you out there with Vision Pros, you're going to be very excited. but I was actually thinking of an iPhone version, but it's a fun app. It turns any 2D video, which is every video in the world, any normal video, and turns it into a spatial video and renders it out in front of you in augmented reality. So you can watch, you're supposed to watch your home videos with it, all the things you've recorded and put into your like photos, albums, and all that stuff. But I will say, Star Wars is quite entertaining in fake 3D. It's kind of wonderful. Nice. So that's the app. It's just a spatial video. Turns everything into spatial video. Fun app. That's the pitch.
It's out there. I played around with it. It was good. Now you have some ideas on how you want to market and sell this application?
Yeah, right. So I really wasn't sure if I was even going to ship the app. It started as a little tech demo. I'm like, I wonder if this is going to look at all. But I was playing with it the other day. I'm like, you know what? I actually kind of love this app. I love watching videos in this. I'm like, I got to ship this puppy. And then I'm like, well, I got to make money off of this puppy, actually. That's what I really think, too. And I was debating, like, okay, so the last app I released, I just did a pay up front app. It is, I believe, $6 or $7.
Night vision goggles.
Night vision goggles. Yes. All 10 of you, go buy it. I think
it's in the name. It's night vision goggles. Here's the cool part about night vision goggles. Sometimes the name of a product sells the product. It's very clear. Yeah. What is this?
Yes.
Night vision goggles. Like you can understand what that app is. No need to further sell. So if it delivers, because the purchase price is well worth it.
Because I do zero marketing, I can't have cutesy names for my apps. My app name has to say what the app does so that when people search for it, they're like, yes, that is what I am searching for. I want some night vision up in this thing. So I was kind of happy. I really honestly prefer pay upfront apps. But we've talked about this a million times on the podcast. The App Store still doesn't have trial editions of apps. So it's becoming a bigger and bigger ask in this world of everything's a web app to pay upfront for an app. You want to try it out before you do it. And that was the concern I was having. I thought, this is an interesting app, but I wasn't sure if I could convince people that it was interesting just from screenshots and descriptions and all that stuff. So once again, James, I believe this might be the fifth or sixth time on this podcast I was having the freemium versus pay upfront debate in my head. And I decided to get your opinion on it because I prize your opinion because you have a PM monkey on your back.
Yes. And yes, the freemium model is, in this regard, the absolute correct way to go because this is an application that you must try. I believe you're correct. There is no good way, in my opinion, even with video, you could do a little sizzle reel before and after with descriptions. I believe that people need to try it. They need to see it to believe it. So a freemium model needs to be the way to go. And then the question becomes how to monetize. There's many, many ways of monetizing. The first thing I went to first was credits. You know, I'm a big fan of gamification.
You brought up something funny. You said tokens because the app does use AI. It's doing real AI. This is like I'm really excited because I've been into convolutional neural networks, vision networks since 2017. Not to show my creds, but to show my creds. I've been into it since 2017. Yeah, it's nothing. But I'm excited because this would be the first app that actually runs a real neural network doing its main task on device. Like this is the app is nothing without the neural network. It is running a neural network, but it's on device. So not uploading anything to the server, super secure, nothing to worry about there. Just eats your battery a tiny bit, but that's fine. It's fine. Just plug in a little when you're watching 3D movies. So I thought it was super funny when you said AI credits because you sent shivers down my back because our whole future is going to be AI credits and tokens. And oh boy, it's going to be a wonderful future. So no, I don't think that's the right way to go for this app because the neural network is actually running on device.
It could be, there's a few different ways. Let me talk about the tokenization of the application here. You could, so for example, when I use Bing, the Bing image creator with DALL-E 3, there's a token system. So you get tokens on there. You have so many tokens. I don't really know if you can buy tokens. I haven't used them. You give you 100 credits.
I've bought tokens for DALL-E. I haven't tried the Bing DALL-E.
Yeah, these are boost credits. I have 25 boost credits. It says use your boost to create images more quickly. If you run out, image generation may take longer. I don't know how to get more, but I'll find out in about 25 more.
MS Paint use credits? Because MS Paint has AI Bing DALL-E stuff in it now, Pro, doesn't it?
I think there's some new stuff, but it's on the Windows Insider track. I don't think I have whatever.
You're not on it yet? Okay.
Yeah.
I'm curious how people are going to end up paying for that if it's in MS Paint. Everyone runs Paint. So I'm curious how that model is going to work.
Yeah, it'd be fascinating. So I feel like you could be every day you get a credit or week you get a certain amount of credits and you could buy more credits or you could, don't want to artificially make things slower or whatnot, but you could do something in that regard. I think that that's one way of doing it because if people are heavy users and they're doing a bunch of videos or that, there could be, I think that it's a per video price seems totally fine because it doesn't matter if it's 30 seconds or 3 hours. It's just one credit, blah, blah, blah. You don't want to do when we do Zencastr, right? So here's an example. In Zencastr, we use credit system. So we are on the free tier, but we pay for processing credits, which has a bunch of cool stuff. And I just found that because the price per ratio of how much we podcast, it makes more sense to do this bulk purchasing of credit hours. So we buy credit hours, and if we record for an hour, we use 1 hour of credit hours. I buy 80 credit hours in a bulk. The more I buy, the bigger the discount. So if you buy 10 hours, it's a certain price. If you buy whatever.
Right.
So you could do that. You could be like, oh, this video's 10 hours. You know, I'm going to process, blah, blah, blah. That's one way of doing it. That's probably not my favorite way of doing it because I feel like then you're nickeling diming people in general that just want to test it out. You know what I mean?
Let me interrupt because, okay, because that one seems related to other options. That one is almost a version of time limiting. Like, I used to do a lot of shareware when I was a kid. All my games were shareware. And some of them would be like, you get to play for 5 minutes. Haha. Pay for the real thing.
Yeah.
And so that's good old-fashioned time limiting. I feel like that's very old-fashioned, though. I don't want to implement time limiting. But so it occurred to me, this credits thing is almost like the modern time limiting thing
it is.
Now. Like, because, you get, X free credits a day, throwing a random number there to keep the gambling juices flowing and then allow people to purchase credits. Oh, that's very modern. I don't think I have it in my heart to do it. But
it's not bad.
I know a friend of the show, Joseph Hill, has at least told me once, and I hope that this wasn't really in confidence, I don't believe, but he hates credits.
Yeah.
I believe his response was, really?
Really? Yeah.
Credits.
Credits, yeah.
So I tend to respect his opinion, and he seemed to not like credits. But, you know, it is a modern world. Everyone plays video games, and video credits are the lifeblood of video games these days. So I guess it will be a viable option. Okay. I honestly toss that one off to the side immediately, but you've backed it up a little bit. You've done it justice.
You know, I'm just saying, you know, if you look at Fortnite, you buy V-Bucks, you could buy H-Bucks, Holobucks,
right.
In-app currency. So I do think that it's relatively modern. I think it'd be a time-based thing, right? So that means if you have really long videos, you're going to pay for that time consumption of how long the video is to be processing or watching XYZ. That's definitely one way of doing it. I feel as though, I don't know. I just don't like it.
No, I don't like it either. I'm super scatterbrained. Okay, it would have to be time because it certainly couldn't be video play because I'm an idiot. I have the attention span of a cat. I'm like, watch 3 minutes of a video, watch 3 minutes of another video, minutes of another video. So it would have to work with that model. I don't like it. Not for this app. Who's ever heard of a video player app that takes credits? I guess a jukebox does, now that I answer my own question.
So then it comes down to what you said earlier, which was essentially, it's in trial mode. There's limits. You know, when I back in that day, when I created my Cadence, there was another app called Cadence. And I put mine.
Not mine, though.
Not mine, though. It's not my Cadence. It's somebody's Cadence. I don't know whose it is. So the Cadence app, when I developed my Cadence, I wasn't aware of, maybe I was aware of the Cadence app. I think I was aware of it, but it wasn't working really well for me. For some reason, I was like, I want to build this app and I want to learn Bluetooth. So I built this little app for myself and I gave it to the world. And I said, I'm going to make this free because this just should be out there. Now, the Cadence app, that one was time-based. They said unlimited 5-minute rides. And how many people are riding their bike for only 5 minutes? That seems a little bit much. I guess you could start over 5 minutes, you know, XYZ, kind of like reconnect, kind of like you could game the system right inside of it. So I came along and I said, I'm going to give you the base functionality for free, and then I'm going to give you pro features, and you can do a pro subscription, you can do a pro thing. So that is the one way of doing it in general, which is like, hey, everything's for free, but then there's like pro modes that you get or pro things. So for example, everybody gets 480p video that you can press it down. But then if you upgrade, you get the 1080p goodness, right? Like that's the pro mode of this application. It's unlimited everything, kind of easy coding, right? It's like, did you buy the upgrade? Cool, you get full resolution. Boom, right? That's one thing. Or you could do the other thing, which is everyone gets high resolution and you only get 5 minutes, right? 5-minute video cap, it ends after 5 minutes, an ad plays. Or there's ads. Maybe there's ads at play in 3D. So that's one way of doing it. You could insert ads. You could insert ads that are hovering in the vision. You could do a combination of both. There you go. You could do a combination of both. It could be time limits. It could be this other stuff. I think any of these work, Frank. I think you pick one. If I was you, you pick one and you just put it out into the world. You A-B test it. Maybe I would just do multiple. Maybe like ones for the first week, it's timed. For the next release, it's something else. I don't know. You know what I mean? You could really mix it up, right? And just give it a go, or maybe just A-B test it. The more important part, in my opinion, is not how you monetize this. I think any of those are working. I think that you pick one. I think credits would work. I think that, I don't like it, but credits would work. I think limiting it to get into a pro mode. I think unlimited everything except for resolution would work. Any of these would work, because if people like it, they're going to give you more money for it, right? And that could be it. You give people a credit, you know, a credit a week, you know, any. The more important part of this is, I think, the first 30 seconds of this application.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay. So onboarding. We just pivoted the episode.
we've done episodes, but not together, right? So now we've done the first 15 minutes. This application lives or dies in the first 30 seconds. And
wow.
Yeah, it really does.
So I can't put the Square Enix logo up, slowly faded in with dramatic music for the first 30 seconds like every other game in the world does? Okay, fine.
You could. I like the like Acclaim Iguana logo. You could do like something. You could do like Rareware, where like the rare thing is like going.
Okay. 30 seconds. I got 30 seconds to convince my conversion window. You're telling me whether they're going to upgrade to pro or not. It's all...
If they're
whatever down the limits, yeah.
If
is
they are
within 30 seconds of that decision,
if they are even going to use your app to understand the potential of your application,
yeah,
they will need a 30 seconds to wow. So here's what I'm thinking: your application, before you ship it, you better not ship it without this feature. I swear, okay. Frank, I swear.
You are saying it on a podcast, so this has to happen.
The first 30 seconds of this application, the most important 30 seconds of this application's life, because it's going to show the entire potential of what this can do. And this is the demo sizzle amazing thing. Imagine when you boot up GoldenEye for the first time on the Nintendo 64. You're instantly spins. Yep. Yeah. Yep. It instantaneously brings you into the world. Or even, and then all of a sudden, it's like, there's like a whole sizzle reel. It's like demo reel thing. It's like showing you the potential of what you're going to play. Or imagine, for example, the first time you play Super Mario 64 for the first time, there's the huge Mario and you can interact with it. You're experiencing 3D for the first time. You're like, I'm about to experience. This is unbelievable. Unbelievable. What your application needs to do is it needs to show that, you know, on websites, even though the internet's terrible, on websites where there's that slider, the before and after, like, you know what I mean? Like, there's a house makeover, or it's like the backyard. It's like before and after. It's like you can live, there's two images, but you can do the slider. Yeah. That's essentially what this is. This intro is a video playing, and then there is literally like a big button that comes up on the screen. It's like, holoize it, right? It's like, whatever it is. Digitize, right? And it's like, morph. And then it's like, and then it does a big, it does a 3D mesh animation, right? And then it's all of a sudden, it's like, boom. And here's the thing is, you've crafted this experience. It could just be a video playing for who knows what it is.
Yeah.
But probably that's what it is. But this is going to show, I guess it might be the thing in real, actually. Whatever, I don't know how you're going to do this, but it needs to be unbelievably amazing. It needs to blow their minds. Oh my, they need to see the, because you will hand select the perfect video. Like, this is like
the ones that work very well.
The perfect video, right? And it's like, right? And then they're going to experience it in front of their eyes, and they're going to be like, wow, like, this is it. It's like the first time you put on virtual reality for the first time, and you're like, you know, wow, this is so cool. I'm like riding a roller coaster. And it's just like, I get, right? It's the first time you put on the Vision Pro and the thing happens. It's like, oh, wow. It's like right there, you know?
Dots. Yeah.
Exactly. The tap dots. It's the tapping of the dots. That's what this is, that moment.
Yeah.
And this onboarding, it's not even a tutorial. It is it's an odd 15, 20 second demo reel that you force them to watch ahead of time. That's what you need.
I love this idea. I'm really happy we had this discussion. I can't help myself. Can I tell you the people you're ripping off? Because it's such a good idea. It's been done before.
Oh, sure.
Do you remember when the special editions of Star Wars were coming out?
Yep.
They had the famous X-Wings flying over Yavin or something. Whatever. Who knows? They had it like on the little TV screen.
Yeah.
They super compressed the audio, so it sounded like it was coming out of a tin can. And then they just like, and now the special editions, there's an explosion and it goes widescreen and it goes HD and they uncompress the audio, thank God, and actually allowed it to change through. It's a good trick, by the way. Audio is a good trick. You just add a compression layer to it and everyone's like, oh, bad audio, good audio. You fool. You fool. Yeah. Relatively good audio.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Yeah, that is a wonderful, and I said trick, but you know, I mean it in a good way. It's convincing. It's like, oh, right. And honestly, it's a pretty easy one for me to pull off because I think Apple didn't do a good enough job providing that exact experience that you're talking about with their spatial videos. You go into their spatial video recorder and it's an empty little land there. You gotta fill it up with your own spatial videos and start doing that stuff. And they didn't give you that experience. So I think that really would be a wonderful introduction to the app. I don't know how I'm going to transition them from 2D video to 3D video back to the main app UI without just blurting up three different windows in their UI or something like that. But I can figure it out. Oh, the other prepo I wanted to say you're ripping off related, obviously, is THX. Every THX intro does the same audio compression trick. Starts with super compressed audio and then opens the gates on the audio and lets that bass through.
When you go to the movie theaters, talking about THX, when you go to the movie theaters, you get the Dolby Atmos and it's like all around you. It's like,
yeah, creepy.
Yeah, it's like, okay, cool. Yeah. It's all around you. Yeah. Like, well, thanks, Dolby. I get it.
This is great. This is like, this is better than onboarding. This is the video. I think this is what you would want in your little video too. Like I could probably take, maybe I wouldn't want to take that exact opening and make that the video for the app. Because by the way, everyone, if you are taking the time to program an application to upload to the App Store, record a 30-second video to upload with your app. I am getting really tired of apps not having videos. So I don't get anything from a screenshot. Upload a video of your app running, everyone. Okay, sorry, small PSA. It's a funny mix, like, because, we're saying, like, the description can't do it, but you're saying, yes, this onboarding, it's not onboarding, but this opening trailer can sell the app. It's funny, because it is a freemium app, so you are still kind of in sales mode the first time they open it up. Okay, thank you, Monkey on James Back.
It's the sell, because the problem that I also have with a lot of apps that don't do this is there's two ways of going around it. There is the welcome to the app. I'm going to do these little pop-ups and guide you through this navigation, blah, 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 blah. You know, what you need is that wow. And a good example of this was recently on the Adobe Podcast app that they have, podcast.adobe.com. It's a really cool app that you can use for free. To enhance your audio. You can also become a paid member, and then you get Express and you get the podcast. But what the Adobe Podcast software does online is it, for all intents and purposes, makes any audio that anyone records through the power of AI and magic make it sound like you're in a studio. It is so unbelievably good. So good.
I've been wanting that forever. Cool. I'll have to check that one out myself.
It's so good. And even if you have a great mic, it can even increase your mic and you can do the slider from like 0 to 100%. So for me, for example, we already have great mics. So I think I might've enhanced audio on the last week one just for fun to try it out, but I can turn it down to like 75, you know, cause we already have good mics, but if people have like AirPods or whatever, it just makes it sound like you're in a studio. It's so good. Just everyone should just run it through. But the thing is when you go to the website, there's a big button that's like, play sample, and it's like before, after, like, wow, So cool. Yeah. Like, wow, that is incredible. It's like 10 seconds to why. Like, wow, yes, that is what I want. And then it's kind of like, I don't believe you, right?
Yeah.
You know, you're like, you, I believe you. Like, that sounds cool. No way. And then when you do it, now here's the thing that actually has to follow up is like, you need to, what I would do next is not only do you do this thing, and then you also have in the application a bunch of sample videos that are like really fun, like your cat playing with something, you know what I mean? That's like fun, like just whatever, some video, the bunny one or whatever it is, something that looks like really good. So you have a few samples, right? That are like, oh, wow, this is cool. So they can go from like, here's something that you've clearly curated, like, oh, okay, these are videos, like I get it. Like, here's Frank playing with a cat, to like then pick a video. And then they could say, okay, obviously, clearly, not only is the video of this developer showing me really good, there's a few samples in here so I can kind of scope those out and see it. Kind of like when you open up iCircuit, right? There's a bunch of samples. It's like, hey, just don't give me a blank canvas.
Yeah.
I don't know what the heck I'm doing. Show me some samples, right? So give me some sample videos, just one, not two or three, something small. Mm-hmm. I think something fun, like animated, and then something real world, that's all you need, that end up working well because then people will see it. Then they can pick their own video. Now, you would allow them to pick their own video, but they might just try your videos anyways, just to scope them out. Why not? And then they pick their own video, like, oh, wow, cool. You know, and then obviously like the results may vary, but they could see clearly like, okay, like obviously this is how it works. You know what I mean? So I think from Rockstar, this thing works amazing. It's a banger, to here's a few sample apps, mm-hmm. pick your own, import your own. And then having that with the application is going to show them from start to finish the experience that they have to work around with.
I think you have criticized me in the past for empty apps.
Oh, they're the worst.
When they come up and they're just like, here is a full screen list of you that has zero items in it and zero and
plus button.
But do you see the little plus? Do you
see the plus?
Little plus?
Yes.
What else are you going to do? You got to hit the little plus. Yeah. I think you've at least taught me to make something up here full screen at first.
The era of AI have taught us something. People don't know what to do. When you go to like the Bing image creator, you go to chat, they need to tell you. You don't even know what to do. Imagine the first time, I mean, this is probably what happened when first people booted up ChatGPT. It was like a blank thing. It's like, start typing. Like, what do I even ask it, right? Now there's like a whole bunch of things. It's like, oh, here's all these amazing images of the Bing image creator. Like, oh, the whole prompts. Like, oh, interesting. Like, create something like this. Let me change the dog with a cat. You know, oh, wow, there's a cat sleeping in a sauna, like, you know, having a great time in the mountainside. You know what I mean? Like, oh, this is so cool. Like, and then they add in little recommendations. Oh, did you want to do blah, blah, blah? Do you want to do this? You know what I mean? So I think people need to be helped along in the beginning.
Yeah, that's definitely the onboarding thing. But I do, right. So we need a not empty app in the beginning because it just looks like a ghost town.
Correct.
It's a little bit scary. I think Word and apps get around it with templates. Like they don't ship you examples, but the templates are basically the examples. It's not onboarding because, especially for this app, the UI is not complicated. It's a video playing app. I'm going to show you some thumbnails of some videos. You're going to click the thumbnail. Video is going to play.
Boom.
Everyone knows this UI. So I don't really need to onboard them. Yeah. So it's just a matter of get some sample videos in there. I have to debate whether to actually put them into the bundle or put them on like a Azure Blob server or something like that.
Shove them in there. No one cares.
You think so?
Someone asked
a couple more megabytes.
Someone asked me recently. They said, you know, obviously smaller files, right? You're not going to do huge files. Yeah. Someone asked me, I was doing a video on like crash reporting. Oh, does this crash reporting, you know, software, you know, DLL, does it increase the size of map? Nobody cares. What is it? Is it going to increase like 2 megs? Like, no one cares. Like, Facebook's like 0.5 gig. Like, nobody cares.
I figure each video would probably be about 3 megabytes, and then the intro video or whatever. Yeah.
Of course.
The neural network itself, I'm very proud because, you know, the code is tight, the code is small, but the neural network itself is 70 megabytes. So that's the anti-size for my app. You know, you're getting that 70 megabytes whether you want it or not. So I could throw in definitely a few more megabytes without worrying.
Exactly. There you go.
So video of the cat, some one-wheeling ollies, and kickflips.
Boom.
Can't do a kickflip on a one-wheel. Yep. maybe a nature shot of a drone. Do you think people, I'm curious about people's motion sickness level, because I was watching some drone footage in automatic 3D. It can get you spinning a little bit. So I'll have to decide what's the best video to put on there.
Yeah, like slow drone footage.
Slow
like,
drone, yeah.
Put in the cinematic mode, the C mode, yeah.
Oh, it just didn't even occur to me. I need to put a little rate slider on there so people can watch in slow mode and fast mode.
There you go. Oh, yeah. That's one of my favorite features, like my Pocket Cast that I use for podcast players, is increasing by, you know, I think I go back at 1.4, 1.35. I don't know. I'm just like always slowly creeping it up a little bit. So sliders are good, especially if you have control of it in your code, because you can slide it up back and forth. So there you go. Now you'll be.
That's great.
You did.
So what are your fees? I mean, PM contract work? What does that go for these days?
Well, this is 30 minutes of my time. My going rate is too expensive. But this one, Frank, for a friend, Ray, this one's on me.
Just for me, though. We're not going to release this episode. We don't want people to get this information for free.
Well, you know what people can do to help support the pod and refund my time, if you listen this far, is you become a Patreon subscriber. We talked about the Cybertruck this week. If you want to hear our thoughts about the Cybertruck and ants, the insects, you can become a Patreon subscriber at patreon.com/mergerconflictfm. There's a link in the show notes below. You get exclusive behind the scenes insight into the lives and times of Frank Krueger. There's even free trial. So if you like, your free trial. Yeah, I don't know if they're really putting out. So you behind the scenes, check it out. And then that money is split 50-50 between me and Frank. Can you believe it? 50. Frank gets half of your $5 after fees. So after taxes and all the stuff, that Frank will make $2 a month. He'll make more money off of Patreon than his application. You know why? He hasn't released the app yet. So. Hello, for now. Until he does, then he'll just be an app billionaire, and then he'll be good to go. Has the Apple Vision Pro run its course, Frank? I haven't heard much about it. What's the word on the street in the Vision Pro community?
Oh, I think we're getting all the negative reviews right now. I think the honeymoon period is over.
Yep.
The 30-day window to return them has expired, so we're all looking at our $3,500 decisions in the mirror.
Yeah.
no, I think, I would say right now is probably a low time, because we're all still trying to figure out, okay, we all agree, like this device, it's a good device, it's still a little heavy on the nose, otherwise a good device.
Yeah.
Its biggest problem is there's nothing engaging to do in that world, aside from browse the web, which is, honestly, it's better at browsing the web. But you're constantly making this cost-benefit analysis of, do I want to get hat head for the rest of the day? And is the battery charged or not to browse the web? Or should I just use my tiny, pathetic little phone to browse the web or something like that? And I think a lot of people are realizing that the hat head just isn't worth it, and so they're using their phones. I'm not lost on it, though. I think... I think people were getting overhyped for it in the beginning.
Yeah.
Like for episode after episode, we talked about it. And I was like, I'm not seeing anything engaging here. I knew for a fact my Oculus had sit in the drawer for a year prior to this.
Yeah.
So I knew what I was in for. I think a lot of other people thought this was, no one thought this was going to be a new iPhone. We knew what this was going to be. But the reality of that, I think, is striking people. And especially journalists, because journalists are writing some really negative stuff right now. And there is this, I think the biggest debate happening right now is this a personal isolating device, or is this a device meant to be used in a group with other people? And the answer, we've always known, no, this is an isolating device. It's not meant to be used with other people around. It's awkward, unless you have friends around it, and then it's fun because you poke each other and do things like that. But otherwise, it's not a social device. So I would say the honeymoon's over. So we're getting the negative reviews. And I think people are realizing that no matter how many stupid external screens you put on this thing, it's still an isolating device.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's early days. V1, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
it took time for the iPhone, you know. The first iPhone was amazing, but it really it took some time. I feel like this device is very far. There's so much technology packed into this thing. Maybe it's a software thing. Maybe we're just waiting for some software. Maybe we're waiting for something else. You know, obviously things will get lighter, cheaper, faster, stronger, right? Just like everything else. Or at least even remain the same price and get lighter, faster, you know, as well, more powerful. So it's fascinating. I'm still excited for the device, even though I wasn't that big of a fan when I put it on my head. But I think of all VR devices, this is the one that I would be the most excited for long term. So Apple doesn't release anything lightly. You know what I mean? So we will see where it goes.
And I'll repeat what, from my personal perspective, I've had Quests ever since they've been coming out, and I've never been able to get an app onto their app stores. Mm-hmm. And yet, it took 9 days.
You got it.
But I got an app into the app store that you can use on a VR device. So in my opinion, it disqualifies all the other devices. Like, this is the only device that even exists in my head. So I'm willing to put up with some faults at the moment.
Yeah. On your head. It's the only device that exists on your head.
Well, right now it's in it. Next episode, it's going to be on it.
There you go. All right, well, that's going to do it for this week's Merge Conflict. I really appreciate everyone tuning in. Check out our Patreon, patreon.com/mergeconflict.fm. We have a YouTube where you can see our faces if you want to. youtube.com/@mergeconflict.fm. Follow, subscribe, like, comment. I will give a shout out to one of the commenters, pretty sure on YouTube, that said we made a big mistake with episode 404, which it should have been episode not found. Whoops. Oops.
Oh. It's a good one joke. Shot. I'm not smart. We're not smart.
We had one shot. We messed it up. Sorry. We did it.
500s will be fun. We can have a lot of fun with the 500s.
There we go. Let us know what you think. Leave comments. Leave reviews. If you're on your podcast application, share it with a friend. Hit follow. Hit subscribe. All the things. So for this week's Merge Conflict. So until next time, I'm James Montemagno.
And I'm Frank Krueger. Thanks for watching and listening.
Peace.